Hey, everybody. Welcome to Defy. This is a podcast about stories, because everyone has a story to tell. We're all about sharing stories of women and non-binary individuals and how they have defined the odds, persevered through incredible circumstances, and transformed their lives. Is this a show about perfection? No, because it doesn't exist. Is this a show full of empty self-help quotes for you to put on your Instagram? No, that is not our style. This is a show about breaking the rules, creating your own path, and being your true self. Because remember, well-behaved women rarely make history. Non-binary folks excel at breaking models. So come on, let's get out there and defy. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Defy. I am Sarah Troutman, and I'm super glad you're joining me today. I am excited because I'm talking to like my fave new professional, and this is my new friend, McKenna Doe. McKenna, do you want to introduce yourself to everybody? Let them know who you are.
Yeah, of course. Hi, everyone. My name is McKenna Doe. I am 23 years old.
23!
Recently. Woo! Yes, recent college graduate, very new to the professional world, but I'm loving every second of it and stoked that I got in contact with Sarah. She's awesome. And yeah, now I'm here on my first podcast ever, so loving life.
I know. I'm so proud of you because when I first reached out to you and I was like, hey, McKenna, what do you think about coming on the Defy podcast? You literally responded, I think in about like 15.6 seconds. You're like, I'm in. So let's provide a little bit of context for everyone. You and I are new friends and we are friends because of the organization company that you work for, which is a tech startup called Visor. And Visor does something that I think is deeply dope. And it's this. You guys have created this app where when someone walks 10,000 steps or runs 10,000 steps a day or exercises for 30 minutes, which by the way, there's automatic connectivity to like your Fitbit or your Apple Watch. So I'm like rocking my Apple Watch. You can log into Visor and you can donate a meal to someone experiencing food insecurity. So essentially by taking care of yourself and your wellness, this also allows you to help take care of others. And the whole point of Visor is the concept of democratizing wellness. And I heard about this at my F45 gym that I go to in Phoenix. So shout out to F45 East Phoenix. And I remember Sydney, one of the trainers, talking about this. And I was like, what? And as soon as I got back into my car after my workout, I like looked it up and I was hooked. And so I don't think I've missed a single day of donating a meal since then. That was in January. Wow. And I was like, oh my gosh, I started looking in the app, messing around, and then realized that there are corporate challenges that you guys sponsor. And so I emailed and this, you know, director of partnerships for Visa named McKenna emailed me back. And then we got on a phone or a Zoom call, and then we decided that we were now going to be best friends.
Pretty much.
And so I wanted to bring you on the podcast today, obviously, and we can talk a little bit more about this in a while, about Visor and just kind of the concept behind it and how you've really kind of grown. But also because I wanted to provide people with an example of like, hey, just because you're early in your career doesn't mean that you can't be making a difference. It doesn't mean that you can't be really, you know, having an incredibly fast, like forward and upward trajectory. And it also doesn't mean that it's easy. And so I wanted to kind of start at the beginning, McKenna, and have you just kind of talk about like where you grew up, what's the, you know, kind of how, you know, what were the things that you were really great at growing up? What were the things that you struggled with? So we can start to paint a picture for the audience to really kind of understand how you've been able to get to this level in your career at such a young age.
Yeah. So, well, first off, thank you for that amazing introduction and overview of Visor. So from the beginning, I think I can just start off with the fact that I was born an identical twin. So pretty interesting story just from a young age. I mean, me and my sister, were thrown into sports pretty early on. We tried anything and everything, softball, soccer, basketball, hockey even. And the one that really kind of stuck was soccer. So we ended up playing competitive soccer for probably, let's see, from like 6 or 7 years old till I ended up playing Division I at University of San Diego by the time I turned 18. But yeah, so just from a young age, I think I had developed this very competitive nature about myself, very aggressive. I think to just put into perspective on the field, like I always wanted to be the one to score the goal. I wanted to be the one that assisted the goal. I wanted to be the first to the ball every single time. I think that just comes into play with being a twin. You kind of already are born into this competitive nature. And I was the older sister. I'm five mm-hmm. minutes older than her. Huge age gap there, by the way.
Mm-hmm. just massive. Yeah, massive. And also, just for the record, your sister is Michaela. So you guys have like the cutest names ever. So it's McKenna and Michaela.
Yes. We're two peas in a pod, truly. But yeah, so very, very competitive nature, just being born into an identical twin. And I think she had always been the more like softer, sensitive one. And I was a little bit more of like the protective, aggressor. I don't know, however you want to call it, but I assumed the role of the older sister, as much as we were just like twins, we're the same age, you know? And so I, you know, initially just like growing up, I didn't really think anything about being a twin. Like, I just thought it was when people would say like, oh, hey, like, I can't believe we're identical twins. Like, this is so cool. Like, it must be the best thing ever. And I just kind of like went with it. But at the end of the day, like there are, you know, there's pros and cons to anything in life. And I think growing up, I really truly realized how much I wanted to break free of that mold. Or I feel like growing up, I was kind of put into a box, or you're always consistently compared to somebody. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to be my own person mm-hmm. and like this independent individual that was just seen as, this is McKenna and it's not Michaela's sister, or for her, this isn't McKenna's sister. And I think that just really played out in my life growing up in sports, is us always, I feel like there's a sense of trying to one-up yourself or the other person constantly. So I wouldn't say that necessarily like hurt me in the sports world. I actually think it may have bettered me by the fact that I was just naturally competitive because of the way I grew up. So that played out on the field of, you know, just wanting to be the best. But also
something that I was just going to say, and we talked about this, is this idea that you've been like competing, you know, with Michaela your whole life. And that doesn't have, it's not a negative connotation.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen when you have people that are look exactly the same, that are doing a lot of the same things. But then also because you are that older sister, a piece of it also was like minimizing your own accomplishments and not allowing yourself to really totally, you know, be able to bask in like the skills and gifts that you had because you didn't want to hurt her feelings.
Yeah, 100%. And that it wasn't just like once or twice. It was kind of like a consistent thing between the both of us in school and in soccer of when we would receive accolades, that it was commonplace for us to just suppress them. We'd kind of like revel in them for a bit, but we wouldn't be very like open about how they made us feel. Like, of course, on the inside, I was like, this is fucking sick. Like, I just got pulled up to practice with the Olympic development team, and like she didn't. And so that's just like a one moment in my life where I vividly remember not really getting to portray how excited I was for it within my own family. And having, you know, obviously talking with my mom about it, I could kind of like be more open about it. But I just think for both of us, we would not necessarily acknowledge those accomplishments. We'd kind of like note them in our head and like move on to the next thing. And you know, that can be kind of, that can take a toll on a person, you know, the more you grow up in your life and through college and even the high school years, to just like, that starts to become like a pattern of behavior of where any like small accomplishment or big accomplishment that you have, whether it's relating to me and my sister or not, it became a habit to not really recognize them within myself. And I started to try and seek as much like reassurance from outside parties as possible because I couldn't do it within myself. And so within sports, I feel like it, and even in school, I think growing up, it did ultimately, I feel like, hold me back in a sense that I out of fear of not being good enough, because you grow up compared and you begin to just compare yourself in every aspect, that, you know, you let fear get in the way of, I'm just not going to be up to the standards of what this box has put me in. Everybody has these assumptions of like, oh, who's going to be the better twin, or who, you know? And it affected me a lot of, you know, not pushing, like breaking down the wall of fear and just putting in 100% of my energy and capability. And, you know, I reaped, you know, accolades and accomplishments over time just with sport. You know, I did go on to play Division I soccer, which was my dream. But still, I just think throughout, I always could have done more. I always could have performed better, because in my own mind, I was allowing myself to break free of the assumptions that people had, or I felt that people had placed on me my entire life. And so I think transitioning now into a career, at least for both of us, we're in wildly different spaces. She stepped into financial advising. Mm-hmm. She's a certified financial advisor now. Shout out, Michaela. It's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've always been a little bit more indecisive than her, as far as like knowing what I wanted to do throughout college, or, you know, even after, which is why I feel it makes so much sense that I fell into a startup career, where I could kind of come into a role mm-hmm. of like a utility player and just take on anything and everything. And it's funny, because I look back, that's exactly the role I played in soccer, was the utility player. I was center mid because I could distribute the ball, I could mm-hmm. score, be the striker, I could defend. Like, I just wanted to do everything. You know, I didn't want to just be like great at one thing. I've always wanted to be very good at a lot of different things. So it makes so much sense that I stepped into a startup role, right out of college. It just fits so well. And I grew up, volunteering, you know, service hours were just a part of my life, and giving back to the community. So, finding a company that was mission driven and also co-founded by a female and a very close friend of mine in college. I looked up to her a lot. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I have to be a part of this. Just this concept is, obviously I've never heard of anything like it. It's so unique. Mm-hmm. And, you know, using, you know, we are a social enterprise, you know, using, you know, her whole mindset behind it was, you know, like, how can you sustainably create resources and funds for nonprofits who spend, you know, half the year fundraising, and trying to execute initiatives that they set out to do, where if we can consistently generate impact for them, it makes that process easier for them. So, yeah, I mean, just really cool idea. And that's why I was just drawn right away, like out of college, because, I got an internship with them, but why I stayed was just because of course the team is amazing. I get along with everybody. They're all like some of my closest friends now. But I think the most important thing for me was it was a first new space out of college where I felt like I was just me, and I was seen as McKenna. I was seen as this is what she could do, and had no idea like of what my sister could do. And I wasn't placed in a box of like, oh, like, we don't know, she can be able to do this because her sister can do this, or like, you know. And so it was very, very empowering to finally like step into a space where I kind of ripped the chains off and was like, I have nobody's set expectations for me. Like, as well as being a startup, you know, there's a little bit less structure than, you know, a corporate company that's been around for a long time where they have that structure. I didn't really have it. I had to like set it and build it along the way. Which was the challenge was really exciting to me because, you know, my whole life, I felt like I had, you know, requirements or assumptions, and I could finally like kind of set them for myself and just like do whatever I wanted to do, take on anything and everything. And, I guess I'll kind of fast forward to the way 2020 ended. I ended up getting Employee of the Year, which was super, super exciting. And you know, it's great to get the tangibles and the accolades, but for me, the most important part was that I could kind of sit back and look at where, like, how far I've come. Like, for the first time, like, me not letting fear get in the way, this is what I can prove to myself, like, what I can accomplish when I am able to, like, fully perform at 100% capacity with no fear of, like, not being good enough. And I'm in a very happy, awesome place right now, just as a young adult.
Good. One thing I want to talk about is is your experience in your sorority at University of San Diego. Because mm-hmm. part of what we discuss a lot in Defy and what I have found to be so true in my, you know, personal and professional life is how important it is to have a network. A network of people that do a lot of different things, a network of friends that understand and can speak truth to you, a network of people that can support you. And for a lot of young adults, some of the first contact they have with really developing a network, if they choose to go to a university that has a Greek system, is participating in that Greek system. And that can become, I mean, if you do a lot of digging, especially in corporate America, you will see that there are very, very close ties between a lot of people that hold incredible positions of power and Harvard Business School, Stanford Business School, Columbia Business School, you know, UC Berkeley Law, Yale Law. I mean, these are, and they have special clubs. And this is like the first mm-hmm. opportunity where people get to start that networking pathway at a very young age. Yeah. And this produces huge dividends throughout their lifetime. So can you kind of talk about how getting involved in your sorority at USD really kind of helped to, you know, change how you thought about yourself and really help to kind of give you that boost for you to then, you know, take advantage of this opportunity advisor?
Yeah, of course. So I joined a sorority the spring of my freshman year at USD. This was I started in 2016 in the fall, and then I joined 2017, the spring of my freshman year. So I was playing soccer at USD. I had just finished my fall season. And to be honest, I didn't necessarily feel like I had found that group of people that was my home, or I felt like I could just rely on 24/7 or go to for anything. And, when I first like was coming to college, I was like so excited for that. You know, my team was great and everything, but I just don't think it was for me. And ultimately I was like, okay, well, where else? It's a small school. How else can I, you know, get involved, more involved on campus? How can I meet, you know, several people like me that I can relate to? And we're all kind of looking to jump on the same path of trajectory, just trying to, you know, like mm-hmm. network and meet new people, have a more balanced lifestyle in college. You know, I was it was just athlete only and like school. My life consisted of waking up at 6 a.m., weight training, practice, freaking fitness tests and all that jazz, to, you know, then study hall for 6 hours. And it was just not a lifestyle I really wanted. And ultimately it, you know, I kind of lost the love of the game out of it. It just kind of got beat out of me, but I was like, how else can I find something that will uplift me? I was like, I'm going to join a sorority. I'm just going to go out on a limb. Like, I don't know. I just know that I've heard that this is a great way to meet a lot of people and build your network. So I ended up joining in the spring. I ended up quitting soccer in March at USD. And ultimately just because I was left with now this whole new, brand new group of friends, in my sorority and, you know, still sitting on the soccer team and being like having to kind of, I was like, I don't have enough energy to put, you know, as much time into both of these things at the same time that I want. I'm like, I have to kind of drop one. And at the end of the day, like mm-hmm. I fell in love with sorority and, you know, all my friends there, I'm like, you know what, this is kind of detracting from me as a human being. It's so draining, on the sports side. So it was a big, big step for me. You know, it wasn't easy to just stop playing sports. Like it was my entire life. Like I remember calling a meeting with the coach and anyways, I was like bawling in the meeting and I left and I just continued to cry, but mm-hmm. I called my mom and my friends. And it was just like a relief. I think it was like a relief cry. I was just like ready to step into a new chapter. From the get-go, once I joined the sorority, like I just felt so embraced of just like who I was. Like there were so many people like me of, you know, having that fun, crazy like side of me, but also this like intense focus of like wanting to go somewhere with your life. Like we all wanted to just like better ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whether that was being a student and onto a professional career. And, I've always been kind of a person that I'm a people person at the end of the day. And I always thank my dad for that. He was the same way. I just kind of want to meet as many people as possible as I can. And, you know, if I can make a small impact on them, I'll be happy. So with a sorority, you know, I kind of wanted to meet as many people as possible. And, you know, like I just said, try and make an impact on somebody's life, whether that was through making them laugh or through my actions of in school or just wanting to be, you know, a boss in life. And ultimately, you know, throughout that sorority experience, I mean, not just with my own sorority, I was able to make connections with, of course, just the Greek life community in general and, you know, becoming close with advisors, you know, who have connections and just realizing how important networking is if you're going to step in the career space. And I didn't really place that much significance on it until like junior or senior year, of course, when you're looking for internships and you're like, oh, this is nerve-wracking. You know, you want to get that internship to get that experience on your resume because everyone else around you is, you know. It was, you know, I mean, USD has like the number one business school in Southern California or in California, I think. And there was a lot of pressure to, you know, if you don't have an internship by the time you're a senior, like you're doing something wrong. So it was kind of hard to put that out of sight, out of mind, because I just wanted to be on my own path and like wasn't going to try to, you know, put myself in a box as other people were like having to do this. But I did feel a sense of like, I took it as a sense of empowerment, like a kick in the ass. I'm like, I need to, you know, find something that will give me some experience to figure out what I want to do. I was walking the line of sales or marketing. I wasn't really sure, but ultimately after I went, I guess fast forward to my junior year, ended up going abroad in the spring in Europe. And that really allowed me to, I think, find a whole new sense of independence as well, of traveling the world alone with, well, not alone. I mean, I was with my friends and my sister, but it was, you know, I didn't have my parents there with me and I was kind of off the leash. And when I came back, I was like, wow, I've just gotten this. I'm so cultured now. I just got like all this world experience. Now I'm ready to kind of, you know, start getting into that professional environment. And I, you know, I tried to get as many interviews as possible. They weren't necessarily my forte. I'll be honest, I wasn't great at them. But anyways, I had found out that Visor was hiring, and I knew that my my friend and now obviously co-founder and CEO, Samantha Pantazopoulos, shout out, she was a senior when I was a freshman at USD. So we were in the same sorority. And again, kind of just like—
Yeah, because I was going to ask, don't you guys know each other through the sorority? Right.
Yeah. Like, so that's,
yeah. Which is, that's what I was trying to get at. Like, hey, you never know who you're going to network with.
You never know.
And it was Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, like freshman year, I met her and I was just like right away, I was like, this girl's going somewhere. I'm like, I need to be under her wing. And and it's funny because I thought about that so long ago, not knowing that I would eventually end up working for her and helping her, you know, build this awesome app. And so I think I either like, I couldn't remember that I had her phone number, but I think I DM'd her on Instagram. I was like, hey, like Visor is like blowing up. Like I want to hop on board. I love what you guys do. Like, are you guys hiring for interns? Like I'm looking for a sales and marketing type role. What do you have? And once she responded, I was like, oh my God, yes. Thank God. She's like, swing by the house. We'll do a quick interview, a quick chat and go from there. So I was like, this is so cool. Like finally, like I got this interview for a job that I'm really, really excited to step into. So I was hoping that I would get it. And I was trying to be all professional and I had my resumes printed out to show up to the house. You know, it wasn't a normal, you know, typical interview that I, you know, had done in the past where I'm like walking into a corporate high rise in downtown San Diego in like a freaking pantsuit. So it was funny because I'm like showing up to a house, literally trying to do that, but it's just like not fitting. And I'm like, I have my resume in hand and I'm in like literally like suit pants and like a nice top. And I like knock on the door and Dylan, other co-founder who started the app with her was there as well. But I knock on the door and they're both like in yoga clothes. And I'm like, oh, like, hey, like, I was like super dressed professionally. I'm like, this is so funny. And anyways, we like end up chatting outside for a good 10, 20 minutes. And, you know, end of story, they hired me right there on the spot. You know, Sam just, I feel like there's a lot of similarities to us. And she, you know, saw something in me right away that I think she could relate to. And that was just that drive to, you know, make an impact in the world and do something really cool and awesome. And, you know, being in that startup culture, it's just everybody is kind of in the same headspace of, You know, you work at a very fast pace. You take on, even if something's not a part of your like job role, you take it on. Like you just do it. And that's what you have to do. You know, you don't have the manpower, as a lot of these obviously large companies do. And that was really exciting to me that I was, the space fit me perfectly. I was like, I just want to take on all these tasks.
Well, you're the utility player. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. That's, I didn't even have like, we had to make up so many different titles for me because I was just like, I wasn't doing just one thing. It was, no, I'm not kidding. Like, of course it started off as just like sales and marketing intern, but then it went to like director of community, but I was still doing like things on the sales side, some things on the community side, like managing a brand ambassador program. And, so it was just funny. Like, I was like, can I just be called like utility player? Like, I don't know. Director of utilities. Like, I don't know. And so it was just funny. But yeah, ultimately building your network, you know, within college and leveraging the Greek life system is so, so important because you don't know who's going to start the next sick app. And it happened to be my friend, Sam. And, you know, so super, super cool. Like I said, I didn't attach a ton of significance to it until like junior, senior year rolled around and it actually fell into my lap. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, like everybody telling me to build my network in college was right. Like, why didn't I think of this sooner? But yeah, it played out the way it did. And I could not be more grateful for the fact that I stepped out of my comfort zone in the beginning of college and decided to join a sorority and do something for myself that wasn't, you know, because my sister was doing it too, or it wasn't sport related. And maybe my parents who had, you know, wanted me to stay with soccer they spent a lot of time and money and, you know, putting me through club teams in high school and, recruiting camps and showcases just to get me here. It was hard to kind of, you know, leave that life and, you know, say like, you know, I'm going to do this for myself. Like, I appreciate all the time and effort you put into that and helping me get there. But, I'm going to not do that anymore. Like, I'm going to go this way. And if you don't maybe like it right away, then I'll prove you why, you know, it was the right decision in a year or two. Like that's kind of always been my outlook.
One of the things, that we talked about, last week was the whole, I mean, and I think there's a lot of people that have experiences like you have that are elite athletes and you get, you know, it's like you got that D1 spot on a soccer team, but then it's like, you're like, I'm burnt out. I don't have a balance in my life. And also I think kind of looking forward towards the rest of your life, you know, it's a very, very small percentage of people that can make a career out of sports. I mean, it's a fractional percentage. And for those people that can do it, like that's great. And it's absolutely, you know, and so it's also kind of like, hey, this is, you know, a transition point. But one thing that you and I talked about last week that you said has been very important in terms of your ability to, you know, come into the startup culture and excel in the way you did is the fact that you are very coachable. Can you talk about how soccer has influenced your ability to be, you know, coachable in the workplace?
Yeah, for sure. So to piggyback off of that, one of the important things in a startup is the ability to be coachable and having to adapt to everything and anything around you. So with soccer, that was another like very important quality to have, just like as not just as soccer, but just as an athlete, as you're being coached, you know, there's always going to be somebody with more experience than you and you have to be willing to listen. And, you know, I had so many coaches and mentors growing up and I just learned to be very coachable from an early age. You know, you listen, you learn, that's how you get better. And then you apply. And, so it made it very, I think, easy for me to transition into the startup space where you have to be both of those things as well. So I think, yeah, I mean, growing up and playing soccer, like I said, I was a center mid. I got a lot of responsibility placed on me and, you know, be the one to score, to be the manager of the field, to be a verbal leader, a leader with your actions as well. And, you know, you have to listen to what your coach is telling you or your teammates around you. You can't just kind of be out of tune with what's going on. You have to be aware of everything going on around you and take it in. And like I said, apply it. So stepping into the startup space is kind of the same thing. You know, I majored in communication studies and had a minor in marketing. You know, like I wasn't like the one with the finance degree or the business degree, of where I had maybe a little bit more knowledge equipped to take on maybe, or say like, yes, I'm very good at this, I'm going to do this, and so forth. So that's why stepping in and not knowing necessarily what I wanted to do there, what I was going to be good at there, it forced me to be coachable and adapt to what did they need from me now, and what are they going to need from me, like, just moving forward. And so I think I said multiple times, like, when I walked in, I was just like, I'm not going to be afraid to ask questions. Like, sorry if I asked too many, but like, no question is a bad question, and it's going to help me learn and apply it and get the experience that I need. Cause once I get it, like, I'm good to go and I hit the ground running. You know, they've consistently reassured me that I'm a pretty quick learner and that I typically, like, will apply it, like, relatively quick and get the job done. And, you know, maybe exceed their expectations on it. And I think that was, I see a correlation too within sports. Like, if I was asked to do something, I always tried to be very efficient about it, get it done quickly, and it be the best, like, outcome possible. And so that same cycle is what I've relied on a lot here, because, like I said, there wasn't a set structure right away for me. I had to listen. You know, I was presented with the tasks I had to in the moment. I had to adapt. And, you know, I know I had kind of touched on, like, just like, you know, I wasn't familiar with, you know, outreach emails or prospecting, onboarding clients, like, very unfamiliar. And, like, the only way to do it was to be given the task, provided a little bit of guidance, but mostly I just had to do it without fear of, like, effing it up, you know, like, you know, you learn from failure. And I have always been a person that's scared of failing because I want everything. I'm a perfectionist, but the only way to get better and learn is by failing. So I just, at the end of the day, I'm so happy that they provided me with that responsibility of just doing it, and you're going to learn, like, whatever the outcome, you're going to learn from it and get better. So I'm very grateful that they didn't necessarily nurture me or baby me because I was younger or didn't know as much, because they knew, like, that's how they learned. And, you know, you have to fail to pick yourself back up, and learn, you know, okay, how, this is how you do it right now. Because now when new people come in, it's going to be the same thing. Like, I'm going to have to, you know, kind of take the leash off and, you know, let them apply themselves to learn it. You know, you're not going to learn unless, you know, you learn more from your mess ups than, of course, you would from somebody else's. Like, cause you know, you're in it, you know, when you mess up or you poorly worded an email and it didn't reap the benefits in return, or you didn't do the pitch to the best of your ability. So, you know, the feedback that you received, how do you apply that for the next time you go pitch somebody? How do you make it better? So that's just kind of the ongoing cycle.
And I think a way to, like, and I think the way to kind of conceptualize it is the idea of, if you want to be more right in the future, that means you probably have to be more wrong today. Because if you're more wrong today, and then you figure out that you're wrong, and then you figure out the better way to do it, that means you're going to be more right tomorrow. And I think there's so much, I think especially for, you know, you and I are similar, like, we're type A personalities. We don't like to fail. You know, we always want to be presenting our best, you know, foot forward. We are competitive. To allow yourself the space to understand that. And I think for you, like, what a gift to have that in a relatively early phase in your career, because this will allow you to be willing to take risks. It allows you, like you said, to be coachable. I think another way of thinking about that is that you're always open to feedback, and that doesn't have to be a judgment on you as a person, like, oh, my, McKenna, you're failing. It's just like, hey, have you thought about it this way? Or maybe you might approach it that way. And you're like, oh my gosh, great. So now I can actually do my job better tomorrow. And then I can build on that for the next day and the next day and the next day. And that is to be in almost like a constant state of curiosity and, you know, openness to continue to, like, iterate and do better is, I think, exciting. And it also, that's where real growth happens. And if you look at super high performers, I don't care what industry you're in or you know, what sport you play, they're going to, you know, they're going to all be very consistent that, like, you know, being open to feedback, being willing to reassess what you thought you did or do something different is truly the only way to become exceptional at what you do and to really, you know, to elevate yourself. Where do you, so, you know, at the tender age of 23, you know, you've already gotten employee of the year in 2020, you're director of partnerships for Visor. where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? What do you think that has in store for you?
I mean, I don't know. I just know that I want to continue growing. Like, it doesn't, for me, I want to continue growing past that 5 years. So, like, I've never been a person, you know, growing up, when people ask you, like, oh, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Or what do you want to do? Like, that's never been, I've never put a time stamp on something, of, because I don't know. Like, I'm a very live in the present person. And I try not to project too much, because it gives me anxiety personally of like, oh no, if I set a standard for myself and what I'm going to be doing in 5 years, like, I want to exceed it at the end of the day. So, but what I can say is that I do still see myself, at Visor. Like, I honestly see myself here for a very long time. Not just like of what I've been able to accomplish as like a career, but what it's just provided for me as a human being, has been just like the most gratifying thing. And I think at the end of the day, like, if we're going to say 5 years, I mean, I still see myself here, but in a much more mentor-esque role, or heavily involved strategically on the impact side, as that's mostly like the biggest thing that I, like, why I was drawn to Visor to begin with. I mean, just giving back and, you know, being a selfless human being has just been something I've carried with myself my entire life. I've just wanted to be, you know, that, I think we chatted about how it can be a downfall sometimes, but, I do put others before myself so much that sometimes I don't necessarily focus enough attention on my own mental health and well-being. But that's just who I am. And I think the impact side of it is I've always been very drawn or attached to it. And I have so many ideas and visions for where it's going. And I know that I really want to be heavily involved on that side, at least like in the next 5 years, or, you know, when we do hire, you know, a sales team and so forth. But I'm looking to really be a much more managerial type role, instead of I'm very hands-on right now in the sales side. But I've known that I have always wanted to step into, or at least start like a mentor mentee program here. I think that would be super awesome, to just be somebody that new people can come to and relate to and seek advice. And I thrive off of that. Like, something I could relate to being in a sorority, when I had a little sister, she comes to me for so many things, and it's so exciting to be able to like provide that little nugget of advice to somebody. To where I hope to do the same thing now in my job of like new people come in, and I want them to seek me out for advice and resources and, oh, how did you do this and what worked? And I get to finally say, this is what I did, this is how it worked, but also like, I'm here for you. This is an intense environment. Mm-hmm. It's very fast paced. It can be a lot to take on at a young age. It can be very overwhelming. And, I'm just really, really excited for the moment that I get to take on, that role of somebody who is a little bit more removed from the very hands-on side of things, and be someone that is more just kind of like, yeah, I don't know, like a mentor, a manager, I guess, in the sense, but eventually, in a very high level role that is just involved in the impact side and how that all plays out. And then, when new people come in, just be somebody that people can come to for anything and everything.
Yeah. And I don't doubt that that is exactly what you're going to be doing. And I also want to make sure that people understand, like, anyone can download Visor. You don't have to pay anything. Yeah. You can download it. You can get your steps or your running or your workout in. You can donate a meal. And I love that, because that means there are no kind of, you know, economic barriers to participation. Mm-hmm. And that's also, again, part of the idea of democratizing wellness. It's like, you don't have, you know, this isn't money. This is you taking care of yourself in whatever way that you can. And you then can help take care of others, because the way that you guys, you know, can make money are off things like what Defy is doing. Like, we are paying for the corporate challenge. You have, you know, partnerships with, you know, fitness studios and restaurants. And so for, you know, the individual, you know, app user, like, come on in, try it out.
Yeah.
It's fun. You guys are constantly pushing out app updates. I know that you have a lot of really exciting things planned. Likely you will be donating your 1 millionth meal within the next, what, like 60 days max, probably?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're doing, about, yeah, it's wild. We're doing about, I want to say 30,000 a week right now. And we had our first, well, I guess now our second plus 100,000 meal donation month, in a row, which is just crazy. Cause we did, we did about 23,000 in total last January. So much growth in a year. It's very, very exciting. Like you said, approaching that 1 million meal mark, which has been a very, a goal for a long time and something we've all had our eyes set on, but you know, eventually it's going to be, a million in a month. Like that's like where our heads are at is to just create so much impact. And, yeah, it's been quite a ride, but yeah, like you said, there are multiple ways to participate, whether you're a user or you're a business or a brand that wants to come on board and be a part of the narrative that we're trying to create, that wellness can be accessible and affordable to all, whether you are on the receiving end of a free meal, free healthy meal, because you don't have access to the resources that your average individual does. And live in severe food insecure communities, or you are the person that has access to a SoulCycle near you and you go, or as easy as, you know, you don't have a wearable, but you walk a lot, and you can get your 10,000 steps in by tracking it with your phone just by walking outside. And every single day you could feed somebody in need. And, that is just, it's something, it never gets old to me. Like I still kind of like sometimes can't wrap my brain around how just like cool of a concept it is and how easily, how easy it is for like anybody to participate. And eventually continuing to make it easier as we, you know, allow more ways to reach a goal or what can count as a meal donation, what type of activities. As is for now, it is just 10,000 steps, 30 active minutes, or working out one of our fitness partner studios. Or even on college campuses. So our, this was another like proud accomplishment, but I got my, the University of San Diego is now a gym partner to where any, student, faculty member, anybody who uses the facility that doesn't come on campus or isn't like a student or faculty member can still use the facility. But, anybody who comes to campus to work out in the facility can now donate a meal every single time that they use it. So if you're coming in to swim, to play basketball, literally any way to use the facility, you can now donate a meal. And that was a huge accomplishment for me just because it's my alma mater. And, you know, I just think setting the stage for how important colleges, come into play when it comes to Visor. I mean, we are relatively, and I say we just because I'm recently out of it, but the demographic of where health and wellness really sticks. And of course it sticks with all age ranges at this point. I think it's becoming a very common theme at least in the US of health in general, health and wellness. But I think there's something about the college space, the community environment, Greek life, athletics, there's so much there. And, you know, there's always something people want to be a part of together and to be able to be a part of this mission of, you know, feeding people in your community while bettering yourself is so cool. And so I'm really, really excited for just future things to come too in the college space of what another one of my goals is to help build out. To know what ways can you know, whether colleges are running campus challenges between students and faculty members, or they're on campus rec centers and gyms are partners. They have restaurants on campus that you can redeem rewards at. Like, how cool would that be to just have like Visor is such a big part of a campus that's all centered around the same narrative. That's definitely something I'm focused on in the coming months is to get more and more colleges on board because there's so much impact. And two, for colleges too, to be able to fund the impact as well. You know, could they sponsor meals or there's so much to do with them, so much opportunity.
And it's also, I mean, the pandemic especially, I mean, we knew that, you know, prior to the pandemic, there were people experiencing food insecurity, but the pandemic has really laid this bare. And, you know, I find this just totally acceptable. In the richest world or richest country in the world, we're not taking care of every single person that's here. Like, give me a break. That is
Yeah.
I do not believe in that. I will do anything that I can to help, you know, support this not being the reality. Isn't it 1 in 5 Americans experiences food insecurity, I think is the statistic. And, you know, for Pfizer to do this in a way that's fun, accessible, and easy is, you know, makes so much sense, which is why I've been obsessed with it since the day I downloaded it. And so I linked it in the show notes. So for anyone that wants to download the Pfizer app, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes. It'll take you to the app store. Or the Google store if you have an Android phone too, mm-hmm. so you can download it. And I just want to thank you, McKenna. It's been really a joy to get to know you in the last couple months. I'm really excited about the work that you're doing and, you know, your enthusiasm, like with your, you know, joy and also really incredible maturity and insight at, you know, at 23. I see why you received Employee of the Year. I see why you're the Director of Partnerships now at Pfizer, and I'm really excited for your future. And, you know, I will tell you as someone that loves mentoring, I can't, give you more reinforcement that that's a great space to be in, and really kind of understanding that all of us have an obligation. If we're doing well in life and we've received, you know, gifts and privilege, that, you know, our role is to help other people be able to have the same. And so, you know, it's democratizing wellness. It's, you know, democratizing business. It's democratizing, you know, everything. I think especially for, you know, young women. Like you have a seat at the table and you have, you know, gotten your seat at the table and, you know, it sounds like you're doing some good shit with it. And and I'm just so proud. I mean, like, I'm not your mom or anything, but I feel like a big sister now. And so I
feel it too. Don't worry. I know, honestly, you've brought in, and I honestly never, like, I always love meeting new people, regardless of if it's like a good experience or not. I always try to learn something. But like, I'll say it again. I mean, I've told you, like, honestly, what you've just, like, meeting you has brought into my life is like a whole another sense of empowerment of like wanting to now step into, like, I was hesitant on that mentor goal of mine or like value of what I've been seeking. And, to just see you do it and like what you've been able to accomplish and just how cool I think Defy Community is. Like, also, I'm now a member, everybody. She got me on board.
Hey.
But to just, you know, provide that space for women to just feel so empowered to become the best version of themselves, I just think is the freaking coolest thing ever that I wish I had access to at a younger age. And the fact that you guys provide these really awesome resources and programs to initially help somebody find that within themselves at the end of the day. So super, super exciting what you guys are doing too. And I love what you're about. And I'm so stoked that we've been able to learn so much from each other. And now I think just like moving forward, like stoked to just have you as a connection. And I'm so happy that you reached out for me to do this because first time I've ever come on a podcast. I can now add that to check that off my bucket list. And I really hope that somebody, whoever is going to listen to this, learn something from me or takes like a piece of advice from my story. And to just know that would be really, really cool.
Thanks for listening to Defy. We really appreciate your support. And we hope that you listen to all of the different podcasts that we've put together. And guess what? We're available on all of the podcast platforms and on social media too. And we even have a website. Like, seriously, we have all of that stuff. You can find us at www.defy.community. You can find us on Instagram at defy.comm, on Facebook using the same defy.comm, or you can even send me an email if you just want to chat about something or if you have an idea of a podcast that you think would be really great for our community. Our email is contact@defy.community. We hope that you have found something that you can take away from this podcast that will impact your life. We hope that you continue to defy society's expectations of you because remember, baby, well-behaved women rarely make history.